Welcome to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey. Today we hear the first part of Dr. Beakey's sermon on Luke chapter 1, verses 28 to 30. The title of this message is Mary Receiving Christ's Birth Announcement, and it speaks to us of how the angel Gabriel came to Mary and told her that she was to be the one who would bear the Christ. In this message, Dr. Beakey will speak of how Mary is highly favored of the Lord, but also greatly troubled and profoundly submissive. As you listen, may the Spirit give you ears to hear and a heart to believe the words of eternal life.
Our text words this morning, dear congregation, are from Luke 1, verses 28 through 30 and 38. The angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And Mary said, verse 38, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. So our theme this morning is Mary's receiving Christ's birth announcement. And we'll look at that in three thoughts. First, Mary highly favored. Second, Mary greatly troubled. And third, Mary profoundly submissive. Highly favored, greatly troubled, profoundly submissive. The virgin birth of our Lord is explained both by the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke. Jesus' birth reminds us at the outset of the New Testament that the entire work of redemption is a supernatural work. No man can think of how to save himself, much less save himself. It is the Father who has thought it, the Son who has bought it, and the Holy Spirit who has wrought it. The triune God is a God of astonishing salvation. As I said in prayer, God is in the business of saving sinners. He delights to save the lost. That's our hope as we approach the commemoration of the birth of Jesus. And so the virgin birth of Jesus reminds us that no human resource can produce a Savior. The Savior was brought to birth through the impregnation of Mary by the Holy Ghost. Only God's direct initiative could produce this glorious Savior, so that the Son of God would also assume our human nature. Now, Matthew and Luke approach this wonderful story from different perspectives. Mary is the center of the approach of Luke as we come to the birth of Jesus. In Matthew, the approach is through Joseph. So today, we want to look at Mary's position in this remarkable history that Luke records. And in so doing, we're going to look at how Mary receives this astonishing gospel message that she would be the bearer of the Son of God, Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, the long-awaited Messiah. Now, Mary lived in the lush green hills of Galilee, far from the bustle of Jerusalem. She grew up knowing the scriptures. She was a God-fearing young woman, probably in her upper teens, a virgin girl, one who no doubt prayed often for God to send the Messiah to reestablish his rule in the earth. She shares with her parents the burden of the Roman occupation of Palestine, the shame of a conquered nation, but especially the longing for more glory in the land of promise and among the people, the chosen people of God, that God would come and fulfill his promises, and that this 400-year period of darkness in which no prophets had been sent would be removed, and that God himself would use Israel again to be a light to the nations. But never does Mary imagine how that God will answer those prayers through her. That is an amazing thing. Have you ever considered how that the very prayers you pray, that God may use you as a channel through which he may be pleased to answer those petitions? Now, Mary does have many plans. She's engaged. She's espoused, actually, which is like a strong engagement, a commitment that cannot be broken, to be married to Joseph, a young carpenter, like her, of the lower class of society. By night, she dreams, no doubt, of how she will arrange their future little house. She's content that they don't have many goods, that they'll live at kind of a poverty level. And by day, with needle and thread, perhaps she works her dreams into linen. And she prays as she does so. No doubt the prayer of all God-fearing Israelitish women, Lord, make me as fruitful as Leah and beloved as Rachel. Let me live to see my children's children. That was a standard prayer of an Israelitish woman. But in the midst of all those plans, with her life about to change and the joy she feels in her love for Joseph, she receives an astonishing visitation, boys and girls. A visitation that brings trouble to her heart and confusion to her mind, and leaves her discombobulated about all her hopes and dreams, and everything seems dashed and broken at her feet. A messenger from heaven, an angel, straight from the very presence of Almighty God, visits her with a most amazing announcement. He comes and says to her, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And you might say, well, what's so challenging or disturbing about that? I mean, that's a pretty good thing. Hail, thou who art highly favored. The word favor here actually can be translated as grace. Thou who art highly graced. Thou who art You who are filled with grace. And so the emphasis here is on the fact that Mary is an object of grace. She's a child of God. And you see that too in verse 30, where the angel says, Thou hast found favor, literally found grace with God. She's full of grace, not in the sense that She had grace to dispense to others, as Roman Catholicism teaches, but in the sense that she was endued with grace. She was the personal object of the incredible mercy and favor and kindness of a salvific God. And so God showed her great grace. Not more grace than she needed. She didn't have surplus grace, as Rome says, so that you can merit grace for others. But God loved her greatly. God showed her great kindness, gave her an immeasurable privilege in a dark day to be a child of God, a teenage girl who feared the Lord in truth. Now that raises the question, how was Mary so greatly graced? And the answer is really twofold. First of all, she had the forgiveness of her sin because she too was a sinner. Roman Catholicism teaches that Mary was born of an immaculate conception, born without sin. But of course, that's just sheer nonsense, simply made up by some pope along the way. Mary herself confesses she's a sinner. She confesses to Elizabeth that she needs a savior. And she recognizes that the child that will be born from her is that savior. And so Mary is by no means free from blemish. Not even in her attitude toward Jesus himself. We read of when Jesus was 12 years old, how she interacted with him, and there was some sin involved in that. She was proud, and she didn't want to confess her guilt to her son by not looking for him in the temple. She misunderstood him. She was uncomprehending. She chided him, and she was lovingly, mildly rebuked by him. And part of the glory of this is that here, as always, God uses a flawed human being because there's no alternative. It's through a flawed human being that God will fulfill his purposes. It's so interesting in the Gospel of Matthew that there are five women in the family chain of Jesus. All of them are sinners. Some of them are notable sinners. In this sense, Mary is the one that God uses in her saved condition in a wonderful way. Maybe you can make an argument that Mary has been the one most blessed by God. But Mary is by no means perfect. She receives grace. She's highly favored because the Lord is with her. And in some ways, that's her greatest blessing. That's what Jesus says in Luke 11, 10 chapters later, when the disciples were debating among themselves, and Jesus said, someone said to Jesus, "Blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked." But Jesus said, "Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." Being a child of God is the greatest blessing you can have in this world. Being saved, having your sins forgiven, being made right with God. That's Mary's honor. She's blessed. She has this wonderful blessing of being saved. And that is the fundamental question that we must face ourselves. Can you say that this morning as we're on the cusp of commemorating the birth of Jesus? Does this birth have vital meaning for you? Is he your Savior personally? Are you blessed of God? Have you found the favor of God? Have you been born again, emptied of your own righteousness, brought to the righteousness of Christ? Do you find everything in him? That's why Mary is blessed, first and foremost. But secondly, Mary has a distinctive blessing because she is the mother of the Lord. That's a singular honor. Every Israelitish woman for 4,000 years was hoping that somewhere along her chain of generations, the Messiah would come out of her loins. But Mary is the one to experience this in the immediate sense. Now, that ought not make us fall into some kind of Mariolatry, some kind of worship of Mary, idolizing Mary. No. But this is a great honor. We must not trivialize Mary's honor. God chooses Mary sovereignly, graciously, for no reason in her. But he does choose her upon whom to bestow this wonderful honor that she should bear the Son of God. Now it's amazing that Elizabeth, who's a much older woman, and who's going to bear John the Baptist as the forerunner of Jesus, that when they interact with each other, do you notice Elizabeth is just amazed that the Lord sends the mother of her Lord to her. She's not jealous of Mary. She doesn't look down at Mary and say, well, what did you do to deserve it? No, Elizabeth shows a humble spirit, and she's just amazed that the mother of her Lord would visit her. That's a reflection of the great honor bestowed upon Mary in the eyes not only of Elizabeth, but that would be typical in the eyes of all Israelitish women and for that matter, men as well. This was a tremendous honor bestowed upon Mary. But this blessing of bearing the Messiah is mixed in the mind of Mary, because you see, it's a grace that involves sorrow. Sorrow such as the world has seldom seen. The sword would pierce through her own soul, she was told. And that would happen especially at the cross of Calvary, when she saw her son broken, naked, shamed, dying on the cross. It was a great honor, yes, that the Messiah should come from Mary. A great honor for the house of David, that the Messiah should come from that house. A great honor for this young woman to be chosen to be the mother of that Messiah. Mary, as the ancient creeds insisted on saying, the mother of God, Mary the God-bearer. But it wasn't easy for Mary. For Mary was not the bearer merely of a human body. She was not even the mother of only a human nature. She was a mother of a person, a mother to Jesus Christ, mother to the Son of God. That is a great honor, but it's also a great responsibility. And it had great complications in Mary's life. What a mixed blessing. What an honor, you see, that in her womb this child was conceived, that through her he's genetically keyed into the whole human race, that through her he inherits many physical characteristics, many, no doubt, of her temperamental and personal characteristics. This is the honor given to Mary and given to the human race through Mary. Savior's not made out of nothing. Savior is born of a woman, made under the law, born of Mary, who encapsulates here the human race. What a mystery. What an honor. No one else has ever received this privilege in the whole human race. The privilege of Mary to carry in her womb Him who is called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. What a blessing. As the mother of all living, Eve carried the first son, Cain. But Mary's honor is greater. She carries a second Adam, God's only begotten son. She's both a mother of Christ and a daughter of grace at the same time. And so Mary, your first thought would be, you ought to be full of gratitude and kindness, the kindness of God that shown to you, you ought to respond to it, that you've been ministered to in a superb and a God-honoring way. Yes, Mary is highly favored. Highly favored. The great thing, you see, is how close she brings the Savior to us. The Christ, who is of woman born. This Christ with a human body. This Christ from the human womb. This Christ with a human soul. This Christ nurtured in the humble circumstances of a poor virgin teenager. This Christ who experienced such dependence upon Mary as a baby, such fragility, such vulnerability. This Christ who has taken our flesh, who has atoned for the sins of that flesh in our body that he derived from this mother, and who transforms that flesh by indwelling it, by living within each believer, taking hold of the seed of Abraham in order to redeem it. This Son of God, who becomes through his virgin mother real, ever so real to every believer. This Christ, who has his mother's eyes and his mother's features, and his mother's culture, and his mother's social standing, and his mother's circle of acquaintances and friends, this Christ is not only made real, but he's made ordinary. He's made relatable. He becomes a friend of sinners. He's bone of our bone. He's flesh of our flesh through the Virgin Mary. This Christ comes near to us, so near that salvation is in your ears right now. And salvation is so near to you that the Bible says, he who confesses with his whole heart that this Christ has been raised from the dead, that this Christ is a Savior of sinners, and believes that and trusts in that, that person is saved forever. What an amazing thing. What an amazing blessing in this way Mary is to the whole elect of God of all ages. God uses Mary to bring the exalted very God of very God in his Son to become very man. Real man in our nature to identify with us.
Thank you for listening to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey, a ministry of the Gospel Trumpet. Please consider supporting the broadcast of Doctrine for Life with your financial gifts. For more information on how to donate to this ministry, and to download free booklets or audio files of previous broadcasts, please visit our website at gospeltrumpet.net. That's gospeltrumpet.net. William Ames said, "Theology is the doctrine of living to God. May God write the doctrines of the Bible upon your heart so that you may truly live."